Today I will believe and confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, just thanking you, God, for your goodness, Lord. You have been good to us. You have provided us everything that we need, Lord. We thank you for each and every person that is here. We thank you, dear God, for living on the inside of us, for being with us always. And Lord, help us to recognize all that you have given to us and all that you have done for us, Heavenly Father. You have equipped us. You have helped us, Heavenly Father, through the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you, God, for this word this morning. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that our hearts will be open to what it is that you have for us. And Lord, that we receive it rightly. Father, I praise you. I thank you. And I glorify your name even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to start off this morning by just kind of summarizing what we did last week. The message, the topic was the works of the one who helps us. We were talking about the Holy Spirit, and we attributed some qualities, some things that God does for us through the Holy Spirit. And so I want to make certain that we kind of get that basis before we move into today's message and get started. We talked about this failure to take what God has given, and I had given an example about a rich man that has everything but behaves as though he doesn't have anything, that's always complaining, you know, saying he doesn't have money for food or money to get help and things of that nature. And I mentioned that sometimes we as Christians are sometimes kind of that same way. You know, we have everything. God has equipped us with the Holy Spirit, but we complain and not reach out and take the things that he has given us, either because we don't know or because of things that we thought. So we kind of mentioned that last week. We talked about how the Holy Spirit helps us. And I think I had like 10 different ways that the Holy Spirit helps us. I said that one of the things that he does is he convicts us of our sins, that even while we were still in the world, we came to Jesus because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicted us at some point. We realized the error of our sin, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is King of Kings, and that he is God. And then we turned and we started this journey that some call Christianity, or on our way to being a believer. We said that he seals our salvation. And we talked about a seal being something that's authentic. We talked about like a person that notarizes, how they make a document authentic. We talked about ownership. It seals us. We're sealed and we are owned by God now. That's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, because he enlightens us on some things. And we spoke to the protection that the Holy Spirit gives us as well. And I used the scripture from Ephesians 1:13. I didn't give it to her back there. It says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now, I may not have said it last week, but that part about believing, that says believed, we don't just believe and then move forward. We continue believing in who the Holy Spirit is. And so the Holy Spirit seals our salvation. I made the mention that, you know, there's some that say, once saved, always saved. And I made mention that, you know, once you're saved, you're saved. Either you're saved or you're not saved. And I may have talked about Judas, but, you know, Judas was not saved. It was clear that he was not saved because of what he did and what his end was. We also said that the Holy Spirit indwells us. He lives on the inside of us. And so we always have God with us wherever we go as those that believe. Sometimes we may move from one side to the other, but that conviction, again, the first thing that I talked about, it brings us back to the center. It's that thing that keeps us, the Holy Spirit is the person that keeps us on the right path, right? We said the Holy Spirit also teaches us. He teaches us into all things that we need to know. As we read the word and there are things that we don't understand, it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to help us to understand those. It's our responsibility when we don't know to ask the Holy Spirit for his help. And if we do, he will help us. We said that the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us, the truth of the word of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, I didn't give this one to him also. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So we said that the Holy Spirit helps us to know the things that God freely gives us, that spirit that is on the inside of us, which is the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things that he does for us. He teaches us. He reveals truth to us. We said that the Holy Spirit guides us. So when there are things that are going on in our life, we're making these major decisions, the Holy Spirit is responsible for guiding us and bringing us to different places in our walk, because there are things that we know or things that we may not know that we need help with. And it's in those ways that we need to, again, ask the Holy Spirit for his help. We said that the Holy Spirit also produces fruit in us, that he produces fruit in us. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all of those things are things that if we don't have them, we mentioned, that we could ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need love, I need joy, I need peace. Because as we walk through the world is dark. The culture that we walk in, there's a lot of darkness. Some of it may be hidden, some of it may be overt, some of it may be covert, but there's a lot of darkness out there. So we need him. We need these fruits of the Spirit to be able to maintain what it is that we have sought after, which is eternity with Christ. We said that it's the Holy Spirit who reminds us. We talked about the disciples and when Jesus was talking to them and that they didn't have an iPhone. They didn't have notepads to write down everything that they saw. They didn't have an opportunity to put it in a recorder, a cassette recorder, the things that Jesus was saying. So how did they remember this? We say that the Bible, this Bible here, is the inspired word of God. Well, again, the Holy Spirit is the one that helped them to remember when they were writing these things down, helped them to be able to dictate what was going on. So the Holy Spirit, just as he reminded the disciples, he reminds us. We said that that the Holy Spirit equips us with spiritual gifts. Those spiritual gifts of apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, those that perform miracles, gifts of healing, helps and governance, diversity of tongues. All of these are things that the Holy Spirit comes and equips us with. So again, we see all of these things that the one who helps us, as we mentioned, the Holy Spirit, things that he gives to us. We also said, one of the things that he does is he empowers us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. We said that in John 14, 16 through 18, I won't read the whole thing. I'll just read the first portion of that. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter or helper. We said that those two terms we would use kind of intermittently about the Holy Spirit, because he does help us, and he comforts us as well, that he may abide with you forever. And we said he doesn't abide with us just for a short time, that he stays with us forever. When we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit. Now, I went through this because I wanted people to know who the Holy Spirit was, and I made mention, and we kind of had a little fun with it. We said the Holy Spirit wasn't the one that makes you flop all over the place and jump over pews and fall out stiff as a board. We were clear on that. There's nowhere in the Bible where it actually says the Holy Spirit does that to a person. At least I hadn't encountered that. So we know that the Holy Spirit is our helper. Those were some of the things that we can attribute to him, and that he wants, we have that spirit of truth, that Holy Spirit on the inside of us. So I wanted to review that so that we know that whether we utilize this or not, as we said last week, that the Holy Spirit, we have it, right? Whether we use that person, the Holy Spirit, or not, is up to us. So you can have all of these things and not utilize it. Because again, it is up to us to ask the Holy Spirit to help us in those areas where we need help, right? So God has given us everything we need since we became saved. The Holy Spirit's down on the inside of us. Now, the question that we have here is, what are we doing with our minds concerning our salvation? So we know that when we get saved, our flesh does not get saved, neither does our soul get saved, our mind, will, and emotions. Our spirit gets saved. So the Bible tells us some things that we need to do. The question, what are we doing with our minds concerning our salvation? Because our salvation extends beyond just our spiritual renewal. Our spirit is renewed, as I said, but our mind isn't. So that leads us, that word salvation, the Greek form of it, soteria, is freedom from physical danger and effects of sin. So the word soteria, which is where salvation comes from, and what's interesting about that word, it hasn't changed much since it's been used in the Greek. So the word soteria, healing, to save, salvation, all of those are the same. However, when we're saved, there's more to our salvation than just our spiritual growth, right? Or our spirit being changed. Because God, Jesus provided other things when he got on the cross and he died. He said, it is finished. Well, what was finished? Our salvation. Yes, our spiritual renewal, our spirit is changed, but your mind isn't. So there are some things that have to go on in order to receive further the things that God wants for us. When Jesus left, or before Jesus left, he told the disciples that they would need to wait in Jerusalem and that he would send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is who we need to help us to move on. He had to leave so that all of us could be imparted with the Holy Spirit. Now, again, when God poured out his Spirit at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, he didn't just pour it out there. When the Spirit came upon those disciples, it was then there for every believer, that anyone that believed from then on. So again, we said that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Now, our mind, that's the portion that we really, really have to focus on. So if you would, let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And we're going to see here, which the title of today's message is, it's finished. God has done it all. It's finished. God has done it all. And we're going to see how we kind of get to that point. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. I'm going to go ahead and read. It's a familiar scripture. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I see some of you guys mumbling that because you pretty much know that scripture. Now, what does it mean to be conformed to the world? When we are conformed to the world, that's what we were when we were out in the club dancing and doing our thing and thought that that was okay because we were made in the image of the world. We were conformed to it. We were just like it. If the world was like this, we were like this. But it goes on to say that we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So I pulled up a couple definitions. The definition of renew means to resume an activity after an interruption. Our minds are new when we are born. So when we're born, when we're little bitty babies in our mother's arms, we're new. Your mind is new. Everything that goes on around you, you're sopping it up. You're sopping it up. It's going in your mind. The good things, the bad things, all of those things. If you watch a baby, and we're talking about I don't want to say average because nobody says that their baby is average, but the typical baby, you know, when they're there, they're all eyes and ears. Any noise that make, if their ears are working, they turn. You know, they can barely move their head, but the eyes, they're getting over there looking because their mind is new. Everything that's pouring into their mind is new. From that moment that they're born all the way to the moment that they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that mind is new up to that point. Now, as they get older, they may be really old, so I guess their mind then is old. They're really, really old when they accept the Lord. But everything that pours into their mind up until the point that they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that our minds have to be renewed because it was conformed to the world. Everything that we were learning conformed to the world. That's why it's so hard for people to accept certain concepts from the Bible if they've never seen it. That's why I feel that people that did not grow up in church, they meet God. I think that when they're skeptical about things, their belief sometimes is a little bit more solid because they've searched that thing out for themselves, unlike myself, who grew up in a family that went to church all the time. We were in church all the time, all day Sunday, Tuesdays, Wednesday, Thursday. We had something going on, whether it was choir rehearsal, Boy Scouts, cleanup day, whatever, whatever, whatever. You're always there. So you just knew church and you knew you were saved because why? My parents brought me to church and that's what I believe. And God said it, I believe it, that settles it, you know. But people that meet God in this journey, they tend to be more skeptical and they search that thing out for themselves and they dig it up and they study it and, oh, this doesn't make sense to me. And then they study, and as the Holy Spirit pours into them and reveals things to them and gives them remembrance, they tend to get in there and dig that thing out. Not every person that went to church. I got to a point where I became skeptical, and I started looking not at other religions to join them, but I wanted to understand what that was all about. And why. And what I found was that, well, what I see here is much more reliable based on the text, and it is also so much more, it just makes so much more sense than the other things that I saw. There were some religions that were similar, but through the Holy Spirit guiding me, leading me, and my own decision to follow God and to study helped me to make sure that I stayed on point with what it is with my salvation, because I did not want to be lost. I did not want to go to hell, and I enjoyed how God dealt with me. And I sensed that, so I moved forward. So I wanted to have my mind renewed. And my mind is not just our minds are not just renewed that one time. You don't say, okay, Lord, I'm saved, and I'm going to go read my Bible today. I see this part where, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believeth upon him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then I walk off and never read the Bible ever again. We don't do it that way. We, as believers, we keep believing. We keep working. We keep studying. We keep. We continue to rely upon the Holy Spirit to bring fresh revelation of the Word to us. And when I say fresh revelation, I'm not talking about spooky stuff that sometimes people get into. We're not talking about, you know, going into these other things that do not make sense. We're talking about the Word of God, the total text here that we read, that we take that text, we dig down in it, and God reveals to us as we walk the things that we need day to day, because that's what, again, we said that the Holy Spirit does. So we're talking about the renewing of our minds. I don't want to get too far off from that. But we renew our mind, and I said that the definition of renew is to resume an activity after an interruption. So we resume an activity. We said our mind is new from the time that we're born until whatever point we accept Jesus Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ in this renewal, we resume an activity after our thinking, our mind. Once we accept him, that's where that interruption comes and the newness comes in. That's when we renew our mind. The former thinking that we had, we have to change that, because the hardest thing that we're going to do ever as a Christian is renew our minds. It leads into it's finished. God has done it all. So in order for us to understand that God has done it all, if our mind has not been renewed, our prayers and just how we walk and how we do things reflects that. So our minds have to be renewed. The opposite of renew, I just pulled some words, damaged, depressed, destroyed, discouraged, to halt, to ruin, to kill, to stop. So if our mind is not renewed and we say that we believe upon Jesus Christ and we continue on and do not put something different in our mind, which is we used to read Life magazine. We used to read a certain blog that was not godly. We used to read whatever else that is not of God. We cannot continue to do that and renew our minds. We have to find things that are godly, things that speak to our believing, because otherwise it's just a belief. There's a lot of people that say they believe in God, but which God? We have to put something in our heads so that we start understanding, again, that God has done it all. Remember, we're not conforming to the world anymore. And I'll use the term again. We had a message and we called it Sinos, and that was Christians in name only. We don't want to be Christians. Once we're saved, we're sanctified. We're set aside. We're set apart from the world. Our conversation, the places we go, how we deal with people, all of that has to change. So if you were a brawler over here, you might still have brawler mentality in the sense that you want to get at it, but you can't grab those people anymore. You have to change your mind and you have to come over here. You may be aggressive in dealing with people, but the fruit of the Spirit, that temperance, all of that has to come down some. You can still be, you know, if you're a manly man, you can still be a manly man, right? So Brother Rob liked to hunt. He can still go hunt. There's no prohibition against that. But if he, before he was saved, if he just hunted and threw the meat to the side, not that he would do that, threw the side, meat to the side and didn't use it, you know, the Bible tells us that, you know, we have dominion over the animals and all. We can use that for food. So just those shifts in how we deal with things have to change because of the renewing of our mind. We have to be transformed from what we used to think. And again, I said that the hardest thing that we will do is renew our mind. Because as we renew our mind, we're going to recognize that it's that God has done everything for us and everything that we need to achieve what we want to achieve, to and not just achieving positions and things of that nature, but achieve what we want to achieve for God, for our families, the things that we want to accomplish as far as our health, those that are sick, getting well, all of those things God has done. But we have to do something as well. So the transforming of our mind is difficult because of the culture that we live in, because of a dark culture, because of all of the distractions that come. You know, you get to reading and then you get this phone call, something that is tragic, or you start saying, okay, I'm going to stay on my reading course, but now your schedule at work has changed. That just means that renewed mind has to continue on in the path that you were going. You may have to readjust some things to do the meditation and the studies that you need, but those things are important to, again, to our belief and to our being strengthened as Christians. Now, let's take a look and see what God has done for his children, for those of us whose minds have been transformed. So what we want to move towards is recognizing that God has done everything for us. Everything is done for us. So as I was doing this, I started asking myself a question. And as I read, and before I came to this part, I had been just reading through the book of Genesis a lot because I'd been hearing different things and I wanted to make sure that they were correct and that I was reading correct because, again, as I mentioned, I was one of those people that grew up in church. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, we read things and we kind of read over it and we think we know it. So I started reading through it, and I was like, okay, I've read it many times, but this is a little different. And it started, as I started picking through it, I was like, there's some stuff in here I really got to go back and research and just get a little bit deeper in. But I ask myself this question. Man is God's greatest creation, right? Man is God's greatest creation. There's nothing that he created that was better than man. And so I started looking at that, and I said I wanted to see why God did not create his greatest creation on the first day. So on the first day, God created the heavens and the earth, right? If you remember the story, he created the heavens and the earth. Then on the second day, God created the heavens and the firmament. The firmament is basically like the dome that's over the earth, that are the separation of the earth from the heavens and then down on earth. On the second day, he created that. And I'm not going through it scripture by scripture, but this is kind of where it starts. If you want to look at it, you can if you have your Bible. On the third day, it says God created the land and the seas, the seeds that produce after its own kind. Those were things that he created on the third day. The grasses, the herbs, fruit trees, all of those were things that he created on the third day. On the fourth day, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, I'm going to back up just a little bit, I'm not going to do that because it can be a little confusing, but it was kind of intriguing to me, but we won't go there. On the fifth day, God created all aquatic life, so all your fish and your whales and everything that teems in the sea, God created those things. He created all of the birds of the air on the fifth day. Still hadn't created man yet. On the sixth day, God creates the animals. And then look what finally happens after that. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And for those of you that do not know, Genesis is the first book of the Bible. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27. Say amen if you have it. If not, I'm going to go ahead and start reading because I'm sure she'll have that one up on the monitor. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, our being God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, after our likeness, and let them being man, and all mankind, not just Adam and Eve, but them being have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So we see on the sixth day, God finally creates man. He creates all this other stuff. So my question was kind of like, well, why? Why did he wait? Why did he not just create man? And the answer is in the title. God has done it all. So he prepared. He made every provision that man ever needs. He created the earth. He created trees and food. He made sure that all of that stuff was here. Animals he created, even though his original intent wasn't for us to, sorry guys, eat the animals, but even though we do. It wasn't his original intent. The animals were supposed to eat the grass. But when sin came, it changed some things around. He created the moon, and he created the stars and the sun. He created all of these things. So man didn't have to really come and ask God, okay, I'm here. Can I eat? I'm hungry. He didn't have to do that. All of the food was there. Something to drink, there's water. It's already here. Everything that man needed. Light, he needed. Need to sleep, the moon, it gets dark. He set everything in motion. And that principle, and it's not, well, yeah, we'll say it's a principle, but the word, as we saw from day one through the sixth day, everything was here for Adam. He didn't have to do anything. Let's skip to Genesis chapter 2. Verse 1 through 3. And it says, real quick here, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and the host being the animals, the plants, the fish, the men, whoever he created, the man, Adam and Eve, of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested, basically he stopped, on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it aside, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. Now, when it talks about God resting, God wasn't, man, I made this earth. Whew, I need some rest. No, God don't get tired. The word says he never sleeps, he never slumbers. So he wasn't resting, laying down, sleep, not knowing what was going on, and then woke up and said, oh man, Adam, y'all done sinned. No, he didn't rest from that. He stopped, he created everything, and he took a step back, and he made an example for us, because for us, it's a pretty good thing to work 6 days and then take one off. Yes, I did say work 6 days and take one off. But, you know, we're a little bit more modern now. We have a two-day weekend, and in other countries, there's a three-day weekend, and I think some are pushing for a four-day weekend. It's just a whole week off. But God didn't get tired. What he made it, created it. It was perfect, and all of those things that man needed was there. Why? Because he wanted to make certain that man had everything that he need, that he did not lack, and that he didn't have to come to God and beg for anything. For all of our needs, it was all here. He made sure of that, and he put it in motion perpetually, everything that we needed. So why am I going through all of this? Why am I talking about this, these provisions for Adam and Eve? Well, when we talked in our message last week about the Holy Spirit, we have everything we need if we just grab a hold of it. As we read here in Genesis, we went through that because everything is here. If we don't grab a hold of it, even after the fall of man, even after Adam and Eve sinned, we still, God has given us the provision, even more so now, as Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross and he died and said, it's finished. Everything we needed for salvation was finished. No longer did we have to rely on the blood of goats and bulls. We didn't have to go through all the rituals. We didn't have to wash our hands 10 times or however many times before we ate. We didn't have to do certain things anymore because Jesus died. He said, it's finished. Our salvation was complete. But not only our salvation, everything, it was a reiteration of what God did when he created the earth. On the seventh day when he rested and he said he sanctified, when he set things apart. All of those things now we have. And we even have the text here, unlike the disciples who believed and had faith, we have this whole text that we can read and understand that everything that we need is here. See, no longer is God creating anything new. Nothing. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new is going to be made. There will be no more air molecules made. There won't be any more cows made, no new animals. So whatever animals we have here now, that's what we have. Lions and giraffes and ants and snakes and whatever. There will be no new animal. Now, there are some that have probably gone extinct. But nothing new will be made here. No new fish. They're still finding new different species of things on land and in the water. But there will be nothing new that will be made. God is not making anything new. He said he rested. He stopped. He didn't say, okay, well, I'm going to pause, and then later on I'm going to come back and make a new something. He's not doing it. Why? Because when he put everything in motion, the apple trees, the orange trees, the grass, things that grow, they grow after their own kind. So, we just have to reach out and get it. We don't have to beg God anymore. So where I'm going with this is that because God has done everything for us, and as we grow to understand these things, we will see that we should in our prayer life and how we deal with God We should deal with him differently. We should pray to him differently. If you need healing for a thing, no longer should your prayer be a beg. If someone gets a disease or whatever, and it's not to be make light of anybody, it's not God's fault that it's not taken care of, but it's ours. If we need help with our finances, God has put whatever is going to be here, whatever economies that are here, but everything, land, things of value, they're not making any more. That's it, not here on this earth. And nowhere do I read that God has placed life out on another planet that I know of. It's the only planet that they found water on. And even if they do, it doesn't say that. And, you know, I guess there are people that need to worry about that, not me. But what I'm saying is that God has given us everything that we need. Everything. We have to reach out and go get it. So what does that mean, how you go get it? The things that we need. If it lines up with the will of God, healing lines up with the will of God. There was nowhere that Jesus went other than when he went home because the people were faithless that he didn't heal. That same Spirit, the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent, was the same Spirit that helped that raised Jesus from the grave. That Spirit lives on the inside of us. Why aren't we seeing things in our lives? And I'm not saying we want to just go out and do things to antagonize God. That's not, or just to show off. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about things that we need. We should be able to go to God as a good father, not as, you know, we're afraid of him. He set all of these things up. He put all of this stuff here. So our prayers should no longer be, God, oh, you know, we just need you. Come, Lord, come down on us. He's already inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit. So what I'm trying to get across to myself and to you guys as well, because I've prayed those prayers before. Lord, I prayed them as though, man, if I just bother God enough, I'm going to get it. You know, if I just keep praying at him, if I get louder, I'm going to get it. That doesn't move God. That's not what moved God. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have to have faith in what? We have to have faith. Only thing that we can have faith in is the word of God. It tells us, it explains to us what God did for us. We just talked about what he did in Genesis. On the cross, when Jesus died, he rose with all power. He said he would leave the Spirit for us that resides on the inside of us. All we have to do is ask the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you an example. So for the last 2 days, I was looking for this very important item. I mean, looking all over at my house, at the building, at my workplace, everywhere. I checked all 3 vehicles. And then guess what happened? Finally, I remembered that last week I preached a message about the one who helps us and he would remind us, right? I said, Father, forgive me. Holy Spirit, I need to find this because what I had, if I didn't find it, it was going to cause me some major problems. So I'm walking around, and I prayed. I asked him, and I said, as I prayed, I just said, Lord, I need to find this item. I'm not worried about it because you have given me everything that I need. And you said you've given us a Holy Spirit that will help us and will remind us. And as I'm walking, I look and just walk right over to the item that I was looking for. I just sat it down. I'd walked into my garage. I had some stuff that I was working on, had a couple sawhorses out there, and the exact item I was looking for, probably 20 minutes after I prayed, walked right up to it, put it in my hand, put it in my pocket. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve, but we have to start seeing it that way, that God wants to help us. He just wants us to reach out to him. One of the things that I learned when I was working, when I worked my previous job, one of my duties was to go out and ask people for money. Now, not begging. We had a little thing. I didn't go, please give me some money. No, we had a process that we went through, and we had a few people here at church that even helped us in that process. I didn't go out to church asking people for money. I didn't do it. They found out on another way, and they helped. But in that process, what I learned, and of course, if you're asking for money, there's a certain person you're looking for. You're not looking for a person that don't have no money. You don't go to them and ask them for money, or a person that doesn't have the ability to give. I remember when I first started, I had to go ask somebody for $5,000. And I was like, because, you know, where I grew up at, that wasn't a part of what we did. Philanthropy wasn't something that I learned. And that was my first time learning about philanthropy, that you go and ask these people. Well, when I was growing up, I didn't know people that could give $5,000. I didn't know people that would give you $5 for the most part. I just didn't know. And so it was very nerve-wracking for me. But what I learned over time, and when I asked for the $5,000, I didn't get the five, but I got $2,500 the first time I asked. But I learned this. People that have, they're okay with you asking them if you ask them in the right way. Now, you don't come up to them while they're in a meeting, man, I need some, man, can you? There's a way you do it. You know, that you may need to make a phone call, a letter, tell them what the cause is that you're going to. You may need to get a person that has some influence with them to help you with that meeting. And then you go in, you ask, and then you wait. And you don't say anything. So in doing that, I learned that these people are okay with you asking. The problem that they have is this. When you go to somebody that has, and let's say they have $10 million in the bank. Now, they're probably giving to other organizations as well. The problem that they have is if I go up there and ask them for $500, they're going to look at me like, he must not know who I am. $500, he coming to me just asking me for $500? He's probably going to look at you like, man, get out of here. You don't know who I am. You didn't do your homework. In the same way, our God is similar. He invites us to have communion with him, to have relationship with him, to come and ask. Sick? You're hurting? Ask. Ask God. Lord, I need healing. Find those scriptures where it talks about call upon the elders of the church. We'll anoint you with oil. We'll pray the prayer of faith, and ye shall be healed. He didn't say you might be healed. He's already done it. He's put all of those God. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you for everything that you need. If you're in a situation where you go to the doctor and they say you have disease X, you only have 6 months to live, your response should be, once you understand that God has given you everything, that he has given healing to you, should be, hey, man, thank you. It should be thank you, but I'm already healed. Now, I'm not healed right now, but I'm healed because I believe. Now, some people will say, man, that's just stupid. You need to take the medicine. And, you know, if you need to take, do what you're going to do, whatever you're going to do. It's not about that, but it's believing that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. He's already done it. He's already done it. So we just have to grab a hold of it and believe. I remember talking to a friend of mine, and we were talking about that same situation, healing. And I told him about some stuff that was going on. He looked at me like, man, you better take that medicine. And I was like, I'm not taking no medicine. I'm not taking it. And to this day, for that particular thing and for most things, I just didn't. Am I bragging on me? No, I'm bragging on God. I'm bragging on the Holy Spirit for what he has done for me. I could have still be there taking that same medicine, and whatever side effect could still be happening to me. Again, if you're listening by the virtues of the internet, I'm not telling you not to take your medicine or any of those things, but what I am saying is that you need to start drilling down in this word and understanding who you have on the inside of you. It would be like some little bitty person walking up to me and saying, hey, man, I'm going to whip you. Now, he probably could, but if I don't believe it, I'm probably just going to back, man, look, I don't want to do that. However, if he starts and I think I can take him, I'm going to go ahead and take him. In the same way, we should be bullish about the word. Try it. And if disease X, if it's the big nasty disease that everybody thinks God can't fix, start off with the little bitty one. Because God has already put provisions for you. You know, people that don't even know God, they talk about foods that you can eat that are good for you, that, you know, will help you. Well, start eating some of that and praying and asking God for your healing with the little bitty things. So if because God, again, we said that the Holy Spirit protects us, that God protects us, that if something like that comes, you have something to stand on. You know, David didn't go straight to Goliath. He didn't, you know, he wasn't just born a little boy and just went straight to Goliath. He said he killed a lion, did some other stuff. He was a shepherd. Anything that came, he took care of the sheep. He was doing some, he was building up to this. And we see this is kind of how God does things. He, you know, you start off small. Faith the size of a mustard seed grows into a tree that birds can sit in. If you just have a little bit of faith, that's where you're going to stay. If you think that your healing is not going to come, you're going to be sick. You're going to stay sick. Now, God is so good, even though he has given us everything, it makes me think of a childhood friend of mine who passed. And before he passed, I was very upset with him because he wouldn't communicate with me. And through that process, I believe that that young man is in heaven right now. And I believe that because of the conversation that we had and the way things went. So right before he passed, it was probably a week before he passed, I was at home and I was getting ready to come back here. And so he had spoken to my mother, and my mother said, "Hey, this young man wants to see you." And I said, I'm getting ready. I mean, I'm like about to leave to come back here, and it was getting late. I said, "Okay, I'll go." And so I go up to the hospital, and I see him, and we have this conversation, and everything about him, the peace that he had, he never said, "Man, I'm gonna die." He never said that. But the conversation that we had, in my spirit, I felt as though, hey, he's okay, because it was a major concern of mine. I knew him since I was a little boy. And we lived right next door, actually. But our God is so good that even in situations like that, and I don't know if this was the case for him, but our God is so good that once we are saved, even with the Holy Spirit inside of us, if we don't reach out and grab hold of things in a situation like my friend had, yes, you will die. However, as we talk about with communion, weak, sick, and fall asleep, people do that. People that are saved do that because God is so good that he doesn't want you to go to hell. That when you're saved, if you stay this course, even if you miss a bunch of stuff and you check out of here, you get to live in eternity with heaven, even though God has given us everything. So one part of this, as we walk through this Christian life as believers, we should recognize and realize that, again, the goodness of God, even if we don't get the fruit of the Spirit, and even if we don't realize all of these things that the Holy Spirit will help us with, the remembrance, or we forget, or we don't get this purpose that we're supposed to have in our lives, God is okay with you, even though he's put everything here. And I keep saying that he's done it all. It would be like being hungry after church, and you got some money in your pocket set aside for food, and you keep complaining about not being able to eat. Please go to the restaurant. There's other stores you can go get something to eat if you're hungry. Don't say, "Well, God, God has made provisions for you." If you're worried about where your next dollar is coming from, you don't have to worry about that as long as you're being about your business. He's going to take care of you because you're his. David said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." He said, "I've never seen the righteous nor his seed." When God plants you, you're planted. Now, if you're the devil's seed, if you're like Judas, then you got right and you should worry. But if God has planted you, then you shouldn't have to worry because he's going to plant you in good soil where you can flourish. But then it's up to you to make the decision that you're going to study so that you can grow, that you're going to meditate on the word so that you can grow. So it's about growth. And so often we see people that talk about, you know, they're a Christian, but they're Christians in name only because they fail to read. They fail to meditate on the word. They fail to grow. You don't become a believer, believe, and don't have to believe no more and think Jesus is just going to keep forgiving you of your sin, just because you came up and said, yeah, I believe. You know, I confess with my mouth, believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. So now I'm good. I can go do whatever I want to do. It doesn't work that way. God has given us everything, but you got to watch, because if that's how you're living, you need to reassess and you need to come back to the cross and ask for God to come into your heart, because you're living a false life. You're living as a Christian in name only, if that's what you're doing. If you don't ever crack your Bible, you know, it's just sitting on the back of your car, or as a talisman, a lucky charm. A talisman is a lucky charm just on the top of your car, on your bed stand, or whatever. You never open it, you never read it, you never meditate on it. Or you do open it and read it, and you just say, and Israel bows and shittim, man. The people began to commit whoredom and with the daughters of Moab. Amen. And you walk off and go do whatever. You need to check your Christianity. The longer we walk, the more mature we are, there should be more evidence of the fruit in our lives. And why do I keep harping on this? Because God has done everything for us. We just have to reach out and grab it. If we don't reach out and grab it, we can't blame God for it. He's not the blame. The blame is on you. He's put everything here. Again, he's not making no more oxygen. He's not writing new scripture for you. He's not writing the doctrine of, he's not writing this doctrine anymore. He's not writing any new doctrine. Wait on the Lord. I'm just going to wait on him. Man, you need to get a job. Man, I'm waiting on the Lord. Because the Lord told me, wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm going to be good and strong because I ain't going to get no job. I'm just going to wait right here. That's not what they're talking about. Wait on the Lord, like a waiter. You need anything, sir? Okay, let me go get that. Hey, I need some hot sauce. Let me go. I'll be right back. And you're going back and forth. If you have a waiter, they just sit down and don't ever come and fill your drink, you got a problem. When I see I have a waiter that's slow, hey, man, bring me 3 teas, because I like to drink. I don't get drunk. I just like to drink. If I'm going to sit down and eat, man, look, just bring me 3 glasses of tea. I promise you I'll drink them. And I'm going to drink them. But if it's somebody that's on it, I don't worry about it because, oh, man, they're taking care of business. I can give them a few dollars extra on the tip if that's what I'm going to do. But waiting is work. It's not sitting. So I think some people think that they can be a Christian and don't have to work. They can just sit. That's not scripture. You're missing something. I'm not saying you're going to hell, but the Bible does say poverty will creep up on you like a bandit if that's what you're doing. You have to work. You have to be about it. You have to go get it. Whatever it is that God has given us, we have to go and get it. We're going to talk a bit more about this. I'm not going to go much further right now. On this, but I think we should delve a little bit deeper into it to do it the service that we have, that we should. But we must remember, guys, that even when we pray, that our prayers shouldn't be a beg. We should learn what God says about a thing in this word, about our health, about healing, about the things that he says that we should have. We'll delve deeper into those things so that we understand that the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to help us to receive those things. As we seek God, as we recognize that we don't have to ask him to make new things. We don't have to ask him for more land. He's given us land. Now, you might not have it, and you might not know how to get it, but you got to seek the Holy Spirit, and he will teach you, and he will bring things to your remembrance, just as he's done for me this week. I told you about the thing that I lost. There were some other things just this week that as I asked the Holy Spirit, things that I've been lost on for the last 20-some-odd years. Really. He's given me answers because I asked. Not because I'm so smart. Not because Brother Chris standing up here and he's special. I'm no more special than nobody. Not because I know so much word. I just believe the things that I read. It's no different than putting a cabinet together or putting these little things that you buy from IKEA. If you read the instructions and follow them, ultimately, you should get to the end, and you shouldn't have a whole bunch of screws and little parts in your hand so it shouldn't fall down. If you follow the word And if you seek it, you're not going to. So through the Holy Spirit, we have to come to a point where we know that we know everything. We just don't know it. We know everything. We just don't know it. But the Holy Spirit does. God knows. And if we ask, and if there's something that we're seeking, and it's not to be trivial, he will bring it to your memories. He will show you where to go to learn it. He will help you, but it's totally up to you. If you don't want it, you won't get it. If you want it, and if you're in Christ, you'll receive it. So let's recognize it's finished. Jesus died on that cross when they nailed those nails in his hands and through his feet and put that on his head, and he bowed his head and died, and before he said, it's finished. If we recognize that and we know that and believe that in our heart, we start at that basis, we can then, from there, recognize that we have the Holy Spirit, and just as we read here in Genesis, God has put all of these things here for us. Food, animals, light, water, all sorts of things here that have already been here because he's done it all for us, for our good, and he told us to take dominion over it. And in the same way, as we read this word, the things that we need, we can take dominion over those things as well. And this isn't name it and claim it type of stuff. This is just what we believe. So we'll keep moving forward next week in our message. We recognize God has done it all, and we want to get to a point where everything that we do, we recognize that God is a good God, and he wants us to have it, but he's not going to give it to us. We're going to have to reach out and grab it. Amen? Amen.